Greetings and welcome to Growing Good Humans. This podcast is designed to empower parents, educators, and college counselors on how to use this crazy college application process as a way to cultivate leaders and citizens. My name is Laura Barr, and I will be your host. In each episode, I will be talking with seasoned professionals to gain insights on how we can nurture students in a process that is simple, deliberate, and joyful. Welcome.
Founder and founder of Emerging Educational Consulting. We are so happy to have you here today to visit with Vivian Shen. She is the, I believe, owner and founder of Acely.ai and maybe some other cool things. My company, Emerging Educational Consulting, is a company that provides one-to-one mentorship for students from the beginning to the end of the college application process. We wake up every day to grow good humans. We have a really unique approach, and what better way to empower families than to give them information and education so they can make the best decisions as they guide their families through this incredible process of the college application. Vivian, I really just want to introduce you. I just got finished telling you that I have been stalking you for a little bit. As the world has shifted, I think it's been about a year, maybe a little over a year since AI, ChatGPT really became known to all of us as, you know, humans on this planet. It's been really exciting, and there have been some great opportunities, and it seems like you're all about that. So I just want you to introduce yourself, and then I'm going to ask you a whole bunch of questions.
Amazing. Well, thank you, Laura. I'm so excited to be here and also share a little bit about myself and Acely with your community. So Acely is an AI tutor that helps any student ace their exams and get into their dream school. So specifically, we're focused on the digital SAT. And obviously, there have been a lot of changes with the SAT in the last year or so. And then we also cover the ACT, PSAT, and APs as well. A bit about me. So I actually started the company back in 2017. And originally, our iteration was that we worked with human tutors to teach kids STEM over Zoom. So that was sort of the big technology shift at the time, was that, you know, we were seeing a lot of folks starting to do classes remotely and things like that. And then obviously during COVID, you know, everything really just accelerated. And then the next technology wave that we saw in late 2022 and 2023 was the advent of AI. And so we started building in this space and really taking a lot of our learnings from working with human instructors and tutors and students to sort of build that into our software. So what we always say with, you know, AI is that it is really about how you use it and making sure that you kind of take the best parts of human teaching and the power of AI and combine them. And so for Acely, we actually integrate a lot of human instructors into the vetting process for our content. And then we use AI to actually develop the content and then also sort of provide an interface for students to get on-demand help where they need it. I'm really excited to share more.
It is pretty exciting. You know, traditional test prep has been around for a long time. Do you see the old model of test prep as not as relevant or maybe broken? And how is AI kind of filling that gap? And what are the results you're seeing?
Great question. So to a certain extent, yes and no. So obviously, test prep has really just depended on the resources of a given family. So I've seen everything from people who have completely self-studied for free using Khan Academy and a bunch of other amazing tools, up through students who have a dedicated, you know, $200 an hour tutor that works with them 5 to 10 hours a week, and they can do that for a year or two. And it's a really different, you know, experience if you're having that free resource that's purely online without any human instruction, through to having that live tutor who is super personalized to you and knows you really well. Somewhere in the middle, there's, you know, these bigger boot camps or like recorded sessions and that kind of thing. And so what we're really trying to do is bring that experience that sort of used to only be available for folks who could afford really expensive classes to a wider group of people, because, you know, everything that we've seen is essentially that one-on-one or live instruction is one of the best ways for students to learn. So how do we kind of scale tutors so that they can actually work with more students, and then also we can bring that experience to more people? And so the way that I see, you know, AI changing tutoring, or, you know, test prep specifically, is that it can basically democratize a lot of what we're offering and allow tutors and parents and everybody in between to just have a better relationship with their students and also provide them feedback or support whenever they need it. A lot of the way that we work with people is that they still have a live session that they do with a tutor, but then if they need help in the time where their tutor is not with them, where can they actually turn to? And that's us. So we kind of see that as sort of getting students full coverage whenever they need it, and then also expanding the number of students that we can work with.
That's great. And the one of the questions I asked, but I'm glad I get to ask it in a different way, is what are the results you're seeing for students? Like if they take a baseline and then they do work through with ACELY, what are the results that you're seeing? And are they different than people who are not using this kind of a program?
Of course, yes. So we've had over 20,000 students use ACELY, and on average, they're seeing 200 point score improvements on the SAT or more. And really what we've seen is that that kind of score improvement for a lot of folks is only available if they work one-on-one with a tutor very extensively. And so we've been really excited that we've been able to democratize that a little bit more. Obviously, if you're also starting at a lower point when you originally take your baseline, if you're starting at around a 1,000 or 1,200, we've also seen more gains out of that. But it's really exciting because I think a lot of the comparable, alternatives that we've seen out there, really only working with a person one-on-one live is sort of the comparable score improvements that we've seen. So we're really excited that, you know, with this number of students, we've been able to see that improvement.
How does the AI tutor in ACELY adapt to individual student needs? And how are, I guess that's really the big question, is with the digital SAT now being adapting to students, how is the test prep doing the same thing? And I know we don't have time to do a whole demo. I'm sure we can figure that out later, but I'd love to just see if you could describe it.
Great question. So yeah, obviously now with the SAT being adaptive, a lot of the tools that students use to prep should also be adaptive. So just for background, you know, it's typically the first half of the exam in both the math section and the reading and writing sections, you'll get a sort of medium level first half of the exam, and then you'll either be pushed into the harder or the, you know, more easy version of the test. And so then you actually want to prep specific kinds of questions based on which part of the test you're kind of getting slotted into. And so a lot of our students' favorite features is that we allow students to select the difficulty of the question that they are practicing. And then also for our mock exams, we actually simulate the adaptive nature of having that harder or easier second half of the test. The other thing that we've seen that, you know, we can really personalize is whenever you make a mistake, you usually want to review questions that are similar to that. So we can actually surface similar questions to that, help you review your mistakes, help you double down in the areas where you need that extra support. We've also seen students want to do essentially the exact same version of a question that they've already done and just sort of switch out some of the numbers. So we kind of enable a lot of those different features so that you can really drill down to the specific kind of question that you need to practice again. And I think that is a lot harder to do without something like AI. That's, I think, the best parts of AI is that it can really personalize the content for what you need. So the other thing that we've seen is, you know, if you get stuck, typically you have to wait for a human to help you out, or you're kind of just stuck and you skip that question. And what we have is essentially a live on-demand version of asking for additional support with a given question. Now, all of the questions and answers that we have in our database of questions are verified by a human. So then all of the AI work is sort of within the framework of these verified questions. So, you know, all that's to say, I think you can get a lot more personalization. You can make sure that somebody is actually being trained on the parts of the test where they need extra help. And that can really also accelerate their test prep because they don't, you know, spend time doing questions that they already know how to do.
That's great. A far cry from I'm 58 years old. And I was, you know, back in those days, we both had one class. We were all so excited because when we took the test, we got like a candy bar, you got like your candy and you got, you know, you sat through it, but you just went through one class for 6 weeks and you took the test and that was it. But what's exciting about this too, is I think I always say that the college application process should be about growing good humans, and that everything that we do has a purpose beyond just trophy hunting for this idea of a dream school. I think what I like about this is that it's building skills and tools on really fine tuning, like, where are my deficits and how can I build them up? And I think that's really exciting. I'm actually a musician. And I think there's sometimes, it reminds me of like studying that one measure over and over.
Yeah.
Right? I've got to get that one piece and I'm going to do that all day until I can master it. And then it just becomes part of my overall being. So I think that I think that's really exciting too, that it's not just for the test, it's also really improving students' skills over time. I think one of the things I'd love to hear from you, and we get asked this all the time, and I certainly have my own answer, but you're an expert, so I want to hear yours. What is the best strategy with this new approach to using AI? Are we making things easier for students? Do they need to study as long? Like, what is your best practice advice for parents if they were to use this approach?
Yeah, so we always say to study smart. I think that I've seen over the years in my experience in school and studying, and then also as a teacher later on, that you can spend 5 hours studying and have very different outcomes based on those 5 hours, right? Like, there are people who can study for 1 hour because they just take mock exams from previous tests that are exactly like the tests that they will be taking. And they're going to be super efficient with how they study versus somebody who spends 5 hours just rereading a textbook that they kind of already know and not doing any actual practice. I think for me, what I see a lot of people saying is, oh, with AI, like, are students actually, are they cheating now, or is school too easy? And like, what's going to happen with education? But my view is just that AI is another superpower that, people need to learn how to use and can also sort of tailor to what they need to do to be more efficient with their studying and also focus on the right areas. I would prefer it if every student only had to be in school for 2 hours a day, and then they could spend the rest of their time, building cool projects or, working an internship, working a part-time job, something like that. I think that's going to prep them actually a lot better for later life. And so what I've been really excited about is that AI has allowed a lot of students to just double down on the places where they're really interested in studying. They can get a live answer to any question that they have in real time. So stuff like that, I call it an AI optimist. I think there's so much really cool stuff that's going to happen in education. And we can sort of hopefully pull out those hours where students are really bored or they're just in a big lecture that's not personalized for them and really help people focus in on the places where they're excited or they need extra help.
Wow. I love the way you're talking. That is coming from a progressive education background and as an educator, that kind of thinking is music to my ears. Let's talk for a second about just testing in general. Wow. I mean, there might have been a minute there where you might have panicked. Like, oh my gosh, test optional is going to happen everywhere. And I think a lot of students were really relieved by that. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of admissions directors and consultants were relieved a little bit by the test optional. And clearly a lot of the testing is coming back as required. Mm-hmm. And can you just speak to like your opinions about that and what your opinions about just taking the test? And then I want to move to AP conversation.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I think, obviously a somewhat controversial topic. One personal story that I have is my parents were born in China and they were, not from very well off families. And basically the outcome of one test really improved their life outcomes. My dad was able to come here and study in the US and, make a life for us here because of the outcome of one exam, basically. And it was actually a very democratizing exam because you can, of course, pay for test prep, but there's sort of only a range in which you can improve to a certain extent. And he, with free resources, was essentially able to test into one of the best universities in China. So for me, I see tests as a very democratizing tool if they're used properly. I see a lot of students who don't submit their test scores because they don't think they're very good scores, but given the context of the school that they came from or their socioeconomic status, they actually have an amazing score. And that's something that these top colleges also want to see. And so I think right now, my view is just that there needs to be more education on what a good score is and that, getting the best score that you can, but then understanding that it's going to be taken in the context of everything that you've come from is really important. But I understand. I mean, I think test taking can feel really overwhelming because it seems like so much is just based on one number. But, you know, students have the opportunity to practice for it and also take multiple exams. And it's really considered holistically still. So in a lot of ways, I think that's what's better about the US system than some of these other systems where it's just tests. But sort of having that as one component of the package, I think is important. The other thing that I get told a lot, but I don't exactly agree with, is that there are other parts of the application package that are more democratizing. And I actually think that a lot of those other pieces are more easy to game for folks who have certain resources, right? If you think about who's doing all of these extracurriculars, like if you think about these very expensive sports that students are playing, not every student's going to be able to go and play squash or go and do sailing, right? And there are specific recruiting programs for those. Or with essays, there's a lot of people who can afford a really expensive essay tutor and that kind of thing. Versus for tests, actually, you can do as much practice as you can. But again, it's going to be within a band of sort of the base level of what you can get to. And so to me, tests are one component we should include. And I understand that they're not everything, but sort of incorporating that again has been really important. And my final piece on that is just, I've seen that a lot of people are starting to push back too on all the grade inflation that we're seeing in a lot of schools. So even, you know, the GPA number that used to be something folks could fall back on as a quantitative measure has been tough for people to get their arms around now as well. And, you know, a GPA from a large inner city public school is going to be very different from a small private school, you know, in the suburbs of a very wealthy area. So we're sort of seeing a lot of changes there. But net net, I think it's a good thing to have more data for the admissions counselor and not sort of overthink it, because what you think is not a good score might actually be an amazing score.
You know, I just had an aha moment. Our practice, we serve all kinds of students, but we do really, really well with neurodiverse students. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting about combining a test prep AI that's so individualized on kind of the deficits and really fine tuning those is amazing for some of our neurodiverse students who maybe have some of, you know, more B's because they're juggling five classes or six or seven classes sometimes. And they certainly can do it, but it's the executive function that's getting in their way. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean they're not college ready or college bound or any of those things, but their GPA might not be as high. But with this mm-hmm. kind of testing prep, they're able to shine in that arena and be able to kind of compensate for that. And then actually that brings me to some of the AP, because I think a lot of us in college consulting who've been in the field for a long time, I mean, AP exams weren't really that big of a thing 15, even 10 years ago. And I think since COVID, that was kind of the one thing that was that, that distinguisher from that grade inflation to like, I really know this yeah. content. So I have yeah. more and more students than ever who are very anxious and excited to study for their AP exams. And I think you have created a product that is pretty unique. And I'd love for you to talk about that for a second.
Yeah. So you know, for ACLEI, we also support AP exams. And to your point, we have been seeing a lot more students taking on a ton of APs. I've seen some sort of unsustainable numbers. Like I think I met one student who had taken 20 AP classes or something in their time in high school because they had self-studied for a lot of them. And I think that my view is, you know, the more things that we can offer for people, the better. To a certain extent, I don't love that it's becoming a bit of an arms race of how many APs you can take. And, you know, that I have certain feelings about. But at the same time, you know, the way that we practice for the SAT should be very comparable to the AP as well. You know, there's all of the additional practice that you're doing over the course of the year in your classroom, obviously. But when it comes down to the test, there's just sort of a way the test is written or a way that you prep for it that can help if you really just drill down in the areas where you need extra support. And so that's sort of the question banks and the tutoring portion that we also have for the APs, the AI tutoring portion.
Right. We're going to be doing a webinar coming up. I think I actually don't remember when it is. Maybe it's next week or the week after, on kind of choosing course of study and yeah. using a wise approach to that, because every student is just very different. And it's really not about the numbers. It's kind of about the why and what you need yes. to be able to think about where you're going, but also who you are today and what you need to do to be able to balance all of that. So I love that that's what that you're in test prep and you're actually saying, please balance these things.
Well, I mean, I agree with you. If you're taking 5 APs, but they're all in STEM areas and they're the more difficult APs, let's call it that, like you're taking AP Physics C or you're taking BC Calc or whatever, and then you're also doing, you know, you're part of the robotics team or something on the side, I think that's much more effective than taking 20 APs across a range of subjects and you don't really know what you want to do in college. Those are like very different profiles, right? And both application profiles are probably good for certain schools or majors. So, you know, I don't think the total number is everything.
This is just kind of an off the cuff question, but after all these years of being in this field, what is the biggest mistake students, and you may not have an answer to this, but do you have an answer to what is the biggest mistake students make when doing test prep?
You know, for test prep, I think it's sort of like brute force prep. And so that's why I'm always saying study smart, not hard, or, you know, it's really about how you prep. So I see people who they will watch hundreds of hours of video of how to do the questions, and they will not take a single mock exam. And I don't understand why they wouldn't do that when there's so many, you know, the College Board makes exams freely available for you to practice. And so I think to me, it's more that the mode of learning needs to be shifted for a lot of people to really just be hands-on and practicing and doing things. And, you know, maybe the first mock exam that you take, you get a 20th percentile score and it's something you're very unhappy with, but that just means you have a lot of room for improvement. And so I think seeing students who are kind of scared to take mock exams because they don't want to see what, you know, kind of result they'll get on the mock exam, that I think is one of the biggest mistakes that I've seen. And they spend a lot of time sort of watching a lot of resources instead of doing. I have seen that, unfortunately.
How many does ACLE have mock exams, and what would be best practice for, let's backwards plan. Like, let's give a scenario to parents. Like, your student is a junior and they're going to be maybe taking the May exam or whatever. Let's pick a date. And then let's backwards plan that what this would actually look like.
Yeah, so a great question. We have 20 exams available on ACLE and about 6,000 practice questions in our question bank. And the College Board also offers a number of official practice exams as well. So typically what I recommend is, depending on the starting score of the student and what score they want to get to, I usually say 3 months minimum is sort of the prep time that students should be doing if they are a junior. If they are a freshman or sophomore, then you know, I've seen up to a year or even 2 years of practice be successful. But again, you're not doing a mock exam every weekend for a year or so. It's more like doing some amount of practice in the early years. And some students, you know, want to take the SAT to get into summer programs or do well in the PSAT, and that's sort of separate. But for juniors, I would say at least 3 months ahead of time. And then during the week, I think any kind of practice questions that they want to review the mistakes of the areas where they needed extra help. And then on the weekends, doing one mock exam roughly per weekend, I think is a good way to go about it. So that's about, let's say 10 to 15 mock exams. And then I would intersplice that where you do one of the College Board practice exams and then one of ours and then one of the College Board, so that you're kind of getting a mix there. A lot of people don't want to burn through the College Board ones, so that's why they use the external exams like ours if they're starting earlier than 3 months ahead of time as well.
So when you have seen the kind of success you have seen, can you break that down to like how many hours a week students would be doing that on top of everything, our program, you know, we start some of the essay prompts in junior year and then you add test prep what does it look like time-wise?
Yeah, I think you're getting diminishing returns if you do more than 10 hours a week on test prep at any point in time. You know, I think if you're cramming the week before, doing 20 hours of prep the week before the exam is probably not going to help you out. I also recommend, you know, the night before the test, even like the 3 days before, not really to take a mock exam, but just kind of review your notes, review the mistakes that you've made, and get a good night's rest, eat a good breakfast, and that's probably going to do a lot better for you. But yeah, anything more than 10 hours a week, like, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week, roughly the equivalent of 1 hour a day, with a heavy weighting for the day where you're doing the mock exam, I think that's more than enough.
Yeah, that it actually sounds like a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah. I know there's, you know, depending on what you want your outcome to be, what, I mean, the world of Ivy League admissions has just gotten out of control with selectivity. Do you have a belief that there is a certain score you would have to be able to apply to those schools that now are mostly test required or preferred?
A good question. So generally, I do think being in that 1500 plus band is important. However, I have seen people who get an 800 in one section, and that's really where they're doubling down on their application. And then, you know, it's kind of okay in that situation. And of course, we're not really accounting for folks who are legacies or they're recruited for sports and things like that. We don't really know the true numbers for that. But what I've seen sort of for the average student is getting in that 1500 plus range for the SAT anyway is good. And, you know, I would probably try to target in that range if your goal is to get into one of those schools.
That's great. All right. Well, we have just a few minutes left. Is there anything you just want us to know? I mean, it sounds like you have like, if I could only tell people that, you know, submit your scores, or do you have anything else like that that would be like some good tips to leave with?
Yes, definitely study smart, not hard. Do mock exams when you can. And also, you know, don't overstudy as well. Again, like we mentioned, 5 to 10 hours a week is already more than enough. And then the second is, yes, always submit your score, because the school will take it in the context that it came from. And what you think is not a good score is probably actually a very good score, or something that they actually want to see as a data point in your profile. So I would say that those two things I think are really important. And then I think that the third is just generally around college admissions. You know, I think a lot of people think that where they go to college is going to change your life one way or the other. And obviously it will, but it's really more about what you make of it. I think that there's a lot of people who end up at the wrong college for many different reasons. And there are other people who end up at a college that they didn't think was the right one for them, but they have found it to be, you know, an incredible experience. I think so many students feel like when they're going into college that they made the wrong choice, like myself included. And then by, you know, your end of freshman year, sophomore year, when you have a good group of friends, when you know what you're going to study, you're feeling really excited, then you kind of, you know, come back to it. So I know it's a very stressful time for a lot of students, but it does genuinely work out, because, you know, you will end up in the right place for you. And also it's kind of what you make of it.
We, in our practice, we say at the end of our process, you'll know where you want to go, what you want to do, and who you want to be when you get there. And that means every college on the list is a college that you would want to go to, and that you, maybe you don't know what you want to major in, but you know what classes you're going to explore, and who you want to be, and how you show up as a citizen contributing to that community is really what's going to tell the story. And so it sounds like your advice coincides with ours. And so
I love that.
I am so grateful for your 30 minutes, and I know you're getting ready to travel and you have so much going on, and we're really excited to get to know you better and hopefully work with you in the future.
Of course. Thank you so much, Laura. It was really great to chat, and I'm so happy that we got to do this.
Okay. Have a great trip.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.